As most of you know, Andrea and I have a small child named Jamian. He's 13 months old. And there are quite a few things he can do. He can jabber, he can walk, he can throw and kick things, and he can express love and affection. Now, of course, as an adult, there are many more things that I can do than he can. I can drive a truck, I can think and express abstract ideas, and I have a much greater sense of who God is. Yet for both of us, there is something that we find extremely difficult to do. That is obedience. Now, granted, my disobedience is less barbarous, slightly more refined than his is, but it's still disobedience. In 1 Samuel 15, we have the account of where God gives specific instructions to King Saul. However, King Saul disobeys those instructions deliberately. And through Samuel, God speaks to Saul, and this is what he says. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Obedience is what God truly desires from each one of us. Yet often when we think of obedience, we think of something imposed on us or a list of obligations we must fulfill, something unpleasant. However, is this the correct view of obedience? I would remind us of what the Apostle John says in 1 John 5. He says that God's commandments are not grievous, that is, they are not burdensome. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 119 this morning. This is an unusual psalm due to its frequent reference to God's laws. In fact, in only a handful of verses do the words law, commandments, precepts, and other such words not occur. So I think this is an excellent place to go to in the scripture to see what does God think of his commandments, what are we to think of his commandments. And I'll be reading just a smattering of verses throughout, and I invite you to follow along as you are able to. Starting in verses 13 through 16. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. I found it interesting to note in verse 16, the word delight in English literally means I will skip about and dance for joy. Kind of interesting. Moving on to verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Verse 20. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Verses 47 and 48. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And finally, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word translated law here in the English is the Hebrew word Torah, which is derived from the verb to guide, to direct, and to teach. It's a general word that refers often to the entire corpus of the canonical books that they would have had at that time. And so it would very likely have involved the ceremonial commandments as well. And I assume most of us have have plowed our way through the book of Leviticus at least once. It is chapter after chapter of precise instructions given to the people of Israel. And honestly, it isn't really something that I find myself skipping about and dancing for joy over when I read through it. And again, to be fair, I'm sure that the writer of this psalm had in mind not just these ceremonial commandments, but the entire corpus of the Old Testament. However, I do think it is reasonable to assume that he had these in mind as well, the ceremonial commandments. Now, this author could rejoice in that in a detailed list of commandments that we would often see as maybe unnecessary, at least unpleasant. Can we not also rejoice in the new and better covenant instigated through the blood of Jesus Christ and rejoice in the commandments that he has given us? However, truth be told, at least if you're like me, we don't always desire to obey. It is often very difficult, and we wage a war between our fleshly desires and between our desire to please God. When this is the case, what then are we to do? Turn with me, if you would, to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. There is a stream of thought that I believe is especially prevalent among the younger generation, that is my generation, not speaking specifically about Center, but about the evangelical world as a whole. And this stream of thought sees strict obedience as being insincere, dishonest, and just downright hypocritical. Now, I admit I find myself thinking, reasoning along those lines too as well sometimes. Yet as a people who strive to follow Christ's teachings as he has given us them, our first question must be, is this congruent with what Christ taught? And before I go on, maybe I should just define what I mean by obedience. And I invite you to analyze this definition, check me out on it. Is it biblical? This is what I think obedience is. Obedience is any action performed out of a heart which desires to please God more than to please the flesh. Let me repeat that. And the emphasis here is on the word more. Obedience is any action performed out of a heart which desires to please God more than to please the flesh. Again, check me out on that, but do keep it in mind as we progress. Matthew chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 18 through 22. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Now what Jesus is saying here is not a suggestion, but rather a command. In essence, these two men tell Jesus that they want to follow him, but first there are some things that they'd rather do first. At the moment, they don't feel like following him. Now, have you ever heard someone, in order to justify a lack of action, use the astounding excuse, "Well, I'll do it sometime, but frankly, right now I don't feel inspired to do it"? What was Jesus' response? "I'm asking for obedience, not for a sudden flash of inspiration," if I may paraphrase. Now we may ask, well, does obedience to God result in love for God, or does love for God result in obedience to God? I guess my response would be that the two are so intertwined that it is impossible to say that it is always one or always the other. Because probably all of us who have given our lives over to Christ know what it is like to obey God because it's easy at the moment. We also know the experience of acting in obedience because we know it is simply the right thing to do. And as a result, we grow in love for Christ. We've all heard that love is a choice, not a feeling. Also recall what Arlen said 2 weeks ago in his devotional when he stated that at times our appetites must be trained. I believe the same can be said for obedience. Obedience is a choice and it is a discipline. And I would like to appeal to the example of Christ himself for this. Not only did Jesus teach obedience, he also lived it out. In Hebrews 5:8, we're told that he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And to me, that means that obedience was not always easy for Jesus. In fact, it was a discipline that he had to learn. Through the daily discipline of obedience, he grew in his love for his Father. And in no place do we see this more explicitly illustrated than when we see him agonizing in the garden. "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And if you will allow me to paraphrase but once more, "Father, my flesh utterly recoils from what you're asking me to do. Yet I want to please you more than I want to please the flesh." Brothers and sisters, I believe this is what true obedience is. And that is my heart cry this morning. And I trust it is yours as well. God's commandments are not burdensome. And they are not put in place to drive us to utter despair. They are not meant to be adhered to only when we feel like it or find it convenient. Rather, through acts of disciplined obedience, we experience true joy and grow in our love for him who first loved us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we give you thanks because you are good and you have given us guidelines which we are to follow. They are for our good, not for our harm. And we ask that you would cement that in our minds and in our hearts this morning and from here on out, that your commandments are not burdensome, but they are to draw us closer to you. We commit the rest of this morning to you. In your name we pray.